Again, I know we are going to be blessed with some pretty weather this morning, so maybe it'll be a little hint of what spring's going to be like. And I know March, every once in a while, we still have a tendency to get a little snow and cold weather, so it may not be over yet. Not yet. Okay. Looks like everybody's here. Let's bow with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Almighty God, we are so very thankful for this Lord's Day, for the blessings that you've bestowed upon me, us. And we take this opportunity as we focus on the cross and we set aside all the worldly thoughts and the busyness from our hearts and our mind and our soul, that we are reminded of your greatness, and we understand and we are humbled by the majesty of your name. Father, we recognize that you are the one and only true God. And as we have been blessed to get up this morning to witness another day, we are thankful. And we are also prayerful, Father, that you will be with us as we continue to confront Satan, his demons, his temptations on a daily basis. We pray for strength. We pray for courage. We pray for the ability to stand firm in that which we believe and not to be ashamed. Thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you'll be with each and every one of us this day, that our hearts will be open and receptive, not only to the word that is being taught, but to that which will be preached out of the pulpit. We ask that you'll continue to watch out for us through this day. Forgive us of our sins, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, just a reminder, Ephesians 6:12 is the main scriptural theme for our class this quarter. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place. And as we've been learning, there are people in this world, both of the world and those who claim to be Christians, that on the outside they look like they have the full armor of God. But on the inside, their true revelation rests in their heart. We are also instructed through Scripture that Satan can present himself as an angel of light. And he can present himself any other facets. That if we aren't on guard, if we aren't well grounded in the Scripture, we can be fooled. We can be tricked. We can be enticed to draw away from that which we believe to the appealing illustrations that he sets before us involving the world. And so that's why, even at our age, we need to be ready. We need to wake up every morning ready to confront Satan in any form or fashion, or any of his demons, so that we don't stumble, so that we don't waver, so that we don't find that he doesn't find an opportunity for doubt to creep in to our lives. We are given all the information in Scripture when it comes to Satan, so that we know who he is, so that we are aware of his tactics, so that we can prepare ourselves and fortify ourselves, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength in anticipation of his attacks. We've covered a lot of territory, and today we're going to talk about Satan's zero hour. When you hear zero hour, what comes to mind? What's the first thing that pops in your head?
Time's up.
Time's up, exactly. That means somewhere that clock, sometime that clock's going to run out, and time's up. Satan knows he's on a deadline. Satan knows that his time here on earth to try to devour us as Christians is limited. Now, is that time frame reflective of the time in which we are accustomed to today here on earth? In our own little world, in our lifespan, Satan knows he's limited. Each and every one of us have a beginning and an end. And at that point which we claim to take on baptism, become a willing and volunteered servant of Christ, to become a true believing Christian, for us and Satan as an individual, that clock starts. And as we grow and we come off the milk and we turn into believing Christians who are in the meat of Scripture, and we continue to self-teach, we continue to strive to be the believer that left an example for us here in the Bible, the devil's attacks, his pursuit of us becomes stronger and stronger. Because once our salvation is asked of us and we rest until Christ comes again, at that point, the devil has lost. He has lost that challenge to take one more believer and steer them away from God. So that's an earthly timeline. The spiritual timeline is that after the devil and his demons got kicked out of heaven and they were placed here on earth to create turmoil, confusion, he knows his spiritual timeline is limited as well. Because there'll be a day, we read in Revelations, in which he will be put into chains and he will be bound for another 1,000 years. So Satan understands his timeline. For Satan, there is a sense of urgency that exists with him every single day, 24/7, to turn us away from God. Let's turn to Revelation 12 and let's read verses 7 through 12. Revelation 12. 7 through 12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying to heaven, "Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you. He is now on earth, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." The urgency is real. The attack, The challenges are every day. Have you ever seen a child who has been denied something that he has wanted so badly, for whatever reason, that he has wanted it, and then the day comes where, for whatever reason, again, he has been told no? Does he just turn around and go, okay, no big deal, and go off and play? No. What is the reaction? It's not good, is it?
No.
I even have that same reaction occasionally at my age, and Cindy sends me to my corner. Time out. But they throw a tantrum. They throw themselves on the ground, or they stomp and scream, or they just almost lose complete control. The devil was the same way. But he wasn't just mad. He was furious. His anger raged. He had a score to settle because now he has no opportunity to get back into heaven. He has been completely cut off from our saints who have gone before us. He has completely been cut off from Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was the victor on the cross, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. However strong and ferocious an attempt that the devil made to overcome Christ had failed. Now he's here on earth. And buddy, does he have a score to settle. And he is after us all the time. Satan has a deadline to accomplish his task on earth. Satan's anger and frustration increased when he failed to destroy our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Experience a crushing defeat at the hands of Michael and his angels. He was done. It was over. And now he had to suffer the humiliating defeat of being cast out of heaven and placed on this earth. Lost forever any further power to harm Christ or the souls of the redeemed. No more. Never an opportunity again. Satan, his angels are cast to earth, giving attention, devising ways and methods of creating division in the Lord's church on earth and his believers. There is no greater victory that he could celebrate when he takes one of us and turns us from our God. And that's what we have to be careful for. Like I've said before, just because we have the armor on, just because we have the ability to approach God in prayer, next week we'll talk about how the Holy Spirit falls in line with this and gives us additional strength. If we don't have the Holy Spirit in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, then we are no different than Judas. Judas was chosen. Judas had all the outwardly appearances of a spiritual warrior, but yet seated in his heart was a little encapsulated seed of sin that he couldn't overcome, that he couldn't get rid of, and that left him vulnerable and subjected to the temptations that Satan used against him. We know of his death. We know of the end result of his sinful nature. That's what we have to be aware of today. We have to look inwardly. This isn't a class on persecution, of pointing fingers. It's of self-examination. So we can look deep in our hearts and our souls and we can find out, I'm susceptible here. I'm at risk here. At my age, this could be a problem. And so we read the Bible. We learn how to strengthen ourselves there. We get an understanding on how to re-fortify those weaknesses so we don't succumb like Judas did to those temptations. Self-examination, to make sure we are at the ready, to make sure we aren't caught off guard. Revelation 12:12, it says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. That should be red flashing lights with arrows going, warning, warning, warning. This is serious. We have each other. Those of you who are fortunate to have your mates, mates that are of the same belief, that walk the same walk, that talk the same walk and talk as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a comfort. What a partner. What a blessing. Because that intimate relationship that you have with each other at times is the only thing that gets us through that which we have been challenged. Now, sometimes we may not see or react to the same pressure as the other one, but that's where we help each other out. When one is weak, the other is strong, and vice versa. But when the two of you are strong together, what a partnership. And that's one thing that we can take as our age group is and show the younger brothers and sisters of Christ, show these younger Christians who are raising children and have a still relatively young marriage, why it's important to be together, why it's important to be of the same faith, why it's important to have daily studies with each other in addition to our self-study, so that our household will be strengthened, that our household will be safe, and that to the best of our ability, we have tried to make that haven, that sanctuary, impenetrable. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, that who dwell in them. Again, I can't press the point enough. The latter part of this verse, he has a short time. Like I've said before, 24/7, he is assaulting us. He doesn't sleep, he doesn't eat, he doesn't have to take a nap, he doesn't go on vacations. And in addition to him, he's got minions out there doing the same thing. He will take people of the world and he will use them to entice us with the pleasures, with the opportunities, with the conveniences of the world. He'll sugarcoat them. He'll fluff them up. Maybe spray a little perfume on them. Whatever he can do to get us to notice, to appeal to our physical senses, so that our eyes are taken off the cross and put on things of the world. The great anger of the devil, plus he knows he has a short time, that's his motivation. That's what keeps him going. The devil has declared all-out war on you and I God's believers. Not so much the ones who claim to be Christians and that's it, but the true believers, the ones who know the Word. At our age, ones who have the Word in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. And at our age, where we draw our spiritual strength. That makes us a target. And it's His wrath, it's His anger that comes at us. So the threat is real. The threat is something that we need to be aware of and take seriously. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter gives this warning. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many of you have heard this for the first time right now? This should be something, one of the scriptures that is in our memory banks. It should be muscle memory. It's something that we don't have to really think about. When something is placed before us and it causes us to stumble, or we have a situation in which life just isn't rosy, this should come to mind. Because that's the way Satan is attacking us. To be sober, not to be foolish. At our age, maturity should be at the top of the chart. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we're not susceptible. It just means we've got an advantage over the younger brothers and sisters. And because of that, whether known or unknown, we are a walking, talking example to our younger family members. They may not be watching all the time, but they are watching sometime. And that's where we need to come in and do what we can to help. We are self-disciplined. We are told to be self-disciplined. How many here are in the military or have been in the military? Okay. Did they ever talk to you about discipline? Huh? Nah, no. It just, you know, you guys wear whatever you want to this morning and, you know, who needs boots? Just put on those comfortable old tennis shoes and stuff like that, you know. Meet out in front of the barracks, you know, maybe around 8 o'clock or so, you know. Feel free to eat breakfast, you know, get comfortable. We'll probably go on a leisurely stroll, you know, through the park. Discipline. That is their main focus. And there's a reason why. How many of you who raised your hands still do things today that is a result of the discipline that you received in the military, because now it's just muscle memory? Yeah. There are just some things that don't change anymore. Maybe it's 5 o'clock, you wake up, your eyes come open, you're ready to go, whether you want to sleep in or not. Maybe it's the way your sock and underwear drawer are arranged. Maybe just the simple way you still fold your t-shirts, and you really don't like mama folding them because she doesn't do it right. You know? Maybe the way we fold our socks. Discipline is something that has a purpose. Our spiritual discipline, at least with us as seniors now, should be muscle memory. And when we read and we get into scripture, whether it's in class or worship or at home, all we're doing is reawakening some of those muscle memories that haven't been used for a while, whether it's scripture out of the Old Testament or maybe a book. Maybe we haven't read James in a while. Or maybe 1 Peter has been on our mind, but we just haven't been able to get to it. So now we're getting. And we see some things in there that we already know, but maybe there's just a different, a new awakening. A new burst of encouragement from the Scripture. Discipline is important. And the sad thing is, I don't see in the generations, younger generations, that discipline is even something that's talked about. Maybe something that's not even taught anymore. We saw a program the other day. Oh my goodness. I didn't know there were so many different parental techniques. There was achievement technique. There was a disciplinary technique. There was a helicopter technique. There was a free range technique. There was a I'm not sure technique. And then there was just a let them go wild technique. And I think there was three or four more in there that I didn't know how to pronounce, let alone spell. When did raising your child as a parent become so diluted and convoluted? It's amazing. And so many things that you and I grew up under that produced character, that produced morals, that produced a respect for authority, that produced respect for your elders, that just taught common sense and basic manners and etiquette, are gone. That's why it's important that we look to our younger families and our younger Christians, and do what we can to teach, to provide that voice of wisdom, and to provide an example. Our time is not over. Our spiritual retirement isn't here yet. We have a duty, we have a responsibility as Christians to reach down and mentor, to encourage, to teach, to do what we can while we still have life and breath on this earth to edify our younger brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to have a spiritual awareness about us. It should already for us be muscle memory, but it's something that we have to teach. And we have to set some sense of discipline to our younger Christians. Right. And there's an obvious disconnect there.
How do you answer?
Sometimes it's hard. Because you have to walk gingerly. You don't want to answer them in a way that is going to discourage them any further.
But then we're getting, well, it's like, correct.
Well, that's where the church has to be careful. Yeah. And Larry's right. You have to be careful. And
I was just going to say that it's interesting that it was Christianity that taught us to be tolerant of others. And now, nowadays, we're accused of being narrow-minded.
Yeah.
We're not thought of as the tolerant people, even though we were the ones who introduced tolerance into the world.
Yeah. Yeah, now they've turned the tables on us. Yeah. This was last year, actually, before I got hired with Hydrotex. I had a interview, and it had gone to the second stage, and so we were Zooming. And there was a couple of questions that involved conflict resolution. I thought I answered them pretty good. Apparently not, based on their accepted answers.
That's just like our children, our young people. Society has let them believe that they have so many rights that they are turning the tables for business.
Yeah. And possibly go to jail.
Yes.
Yeah. Larry?
I was noticing just this week that there's some state that put before the their congressional people in the state to make it a law that Christianity is against the law.
Wow.
And they're saying that because of the beliefs of Christianity were certain things that we teach, and they're saying because of that, we're criminals. Now, it hadn't passed yet, but it wouldn't surprise.
Well, just the fact that somebody thought that was worthy of placing before a legislative body. I mean, I know probably when you were younger, if somebody told you that, you would have just thought, you're pulling my leg. Come on, there's no way that can happen. But look at us today. And that's how Satan gets involved with the world. There are minds out there who have no idea what's in this book. They can probably tell you, well, yeah, I've heard about it. I know it's some kind of religious faction or a cult that believes in the Bible. But they have no idea. It's those minds that are easily manipulated and then put additional burdens on us as believers. To the point, like Larry said, to where now we become just our basic belief in Scripture, that now we can be a threat, that we can be an enemy of the state. Persecution's coming. I don't know how advanced and how rough it'll get before I pass away. But I pray for Jessica. And I pray for those of her age who are having babies in our seekers group over there with little kids and stuff. I can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like when their children are teenagers. Not so much the way they will develop spiritual strength in their household, but what the world's going to look like. I can read examples of it in the Old Testament. Heaven forbid if it ever comes to that. Because we're going to be in prayer for our lives. That's how bad it's going to be. So the spiritual awareness is something that we need to have. Again, we see, we read, we hear in the news how cunning, how cruel, how divisive Satan can be. The devil will try to destroy those whom he attacks. When you see a lion, even in the zoo, do you look at that and go, what a nice little kitty. What a cute little, I just want to hug him and just pet him. What do you think that lion's going to do the first time you go up there and try to tell him to shake hands? Yeah. He's going to go, this is the easiest snack I've had all day. I mean, he's not going to blink. He's not going to hesitate. He's going to take advantage of the opportunity and take advantage of our weakness and our ignorance. And man, he's going to just chew us up. How many of you seen the YouTube videos where an individual will be through a national park and there's bison everywhere and they want to go up and get this picture? And before you know it, you see the video and they're being hurled 10 or 15 feet in the air and they're surprised that they got hurt. We had Boy Scouts at Boy Scout camp off the river. And we were told every time we go there, you know, don't touch the snakes. You know, if you see one, get a scoutmaster or leader, you know, and let them know where it is and stuff. And we had a young man, wasn't in our troop, but he was out of Tonkawa. Not only did he reach down and pick up the snake, but he took it down where one of the leaders were. He was closest to the swimming pool and was like, look what I found. By the time they got him to drop it, he had been bit three times. It was a copperhead. It was a little one. But nonetheless, they rushed him here to Tulsa. I guess he's okay. I mean, we never saw him after that. They never really told us anything else. The devil's going to bite us. If he can get his claws in us, his teeth, if he can just get a grip, it's like having a tick. You don't know it's there until it's there, and then when you pull it off, it's done. But man, it itches and for months. Satan's the same way. 1 Peter 5:9. Let's take a look at that one real quick. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're not alone. Christians, believers, true believers of Christ throughout the world are suffering the same assault. That's why when we're in prayer, we need to pray for each other. And we need to pray that you are praying for us who are doing the Lord's work. It says steadfast in the faith. It doesn't say steadfast in my belief in Dunkin' Donuts. It doesn't say steadfast in my belief in that, you know, I'm a respecter of nature and, you know, that pulls me close to God and I think I'm a reasonable, you know, Christian. Doesn't work like that. It says in the faith, the truth, the living word of our Lord and Savior, our God Almighty. We are to embrace the fight, as we talked about before. We are soldiers of Christ. We have been conditioned, and we have a discipline about us which instinctively we go towards the battle. Instinctively, we stand firm, our feet apart, well-balanced, our armor at the ready, looking at the devil head-on and saying, let's go. What happens in the time of war when somebody runs? You lose sight of what's attacking you. You lose sight of who's coming at you. You lose sight of the fact that they may be trying to flank you. And typically you don't see or realize that you've been shot. Retreat is not an option for us as Christians. We have been conditioned through the scripture. We have been given encouragement. We have been given everything we need to overcome the fear of facing our adversary, our devil. Fear is one of the weaknesses that all of us encounter. How many of you had a fear where you've been doing something? For me, it's reflective of being out in the woods because I've hunted, I've camped, I've been out there, spent a lot of it. And you turn around and as you're doing something, you just get this tingle in the back of your neck, your ears draw tight, and you think, my goodness. And you turn around and nothing's there. That's a make-believe fear. That was just something that just kind of went off, but there was no true threat. There was nothing there, at least that we could see. The fear that we're dealing with is real. So let's keep that in mind. I don't know if they're a little quick on the buzzer or what. So with that, stand firm in the faith. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. And just let it be known that we are praying for each other and you have all of us in each other's corner. Thank you very much.